Good morning, church. We have finally come to the last Sunday in Lent, and I have a confession to make. I have more or less treated the last Sunday in Lent as a cast off. The reason I gave myself was that I have a lot of planning to do for Holy Week. A casual read, but not a real deep dive into the journey. But here we are, and today I have a new view. Perhaps because, as the Dean of Marsh Chapel, the Reverend Dr. Robert Allen Hill, said to me this week, we've been living in Lent for over a year now. It was a time for me to look at the last Sunday in Lent with new eyes. So let's place this reading. It comes immediately after Jesus's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Jesus has finished his public ministry, and now he and his disciples have come into the city of Jerusalem like thousands of others who came to celebrate the festival of Passover. There's a bunch of excitement in the air as he and his disciples make their way through the city streets. His coming into the city has also caused quite a stir among the crowds, for among them were those who had heard him speak and had seen his signs. Still, there were many others who had only heard about him, about the miracles he had performed. And John tells us that there were people from the outside world, Greeks, who looked to see Jesus for themselves. They said, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." But in the midst of the excitement and the hubbub in the air, it is clear that Jesus has something else on his mind. He had made other trips to Jerusalem, but this one would be his last before completing what he had come to do with his earthly life. No doubt he was wrestling with what would befall him in the not too distant future. He had no time for the crowds. His hour had come. Who do the Greeks and the non-Jews wish to see and hear? Another one of their prophets? Someone that authorities called a rebel because he dared to challenge them, break the law of the Sabbath, dare to expel money changers from the temple? Those who had never heard or seen Jesus were surely told stories so remarkable that it was hard to believe that they actually happened. Who was this man that really made the lame to walk and the blind to see? Who was this man, they said, who recently raised the dead man from his grave? Who was this man who performed a miracle in the midst of them? We can't blame any of them for wanting to see Jesus. He sounds like a really interesting fellow. We get it. But we wish to see Jesus too. Or do we? Jesus began to speak about a single grain of wheat, that this wheat must die in order to bear fruit. Jesus knew that like the grain of wheat, he must die. He knew that what he was preaching and teaching in the eyes of the authorities was going to get him arrested, tried, and executed. This had happened before with others who had gone before. He knew that the authorities would try to silence him. Is this the Jesus we wish to see? At some point, even his disciples had already seen firsthand what happened to those whom Rome punished. And only a few weeks ago, when Jesus spoke about what would happen to him, hadn't Peter admonished him by saying, "This can't happen to you"? It is hardly a scene that you and I can take in either. Is this the Jesus we wish to see? Or would we rather have the images of Jesus as the Good Shepherd, as the one who welcomed children into his arms, the Jesus of parables? Would we rather join in on the celebration part of Palm Sunday and go right into the joy of Easter morning? If we look at what's about to befall Jesus on the cross, who do we see? Jesus with no looks that attract our eyes. A man despised and rejected by people, and one for whom people hid their face. His appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that. Yet, in our head, we can sometimes ignore the horror in our quick jaunt to the resurrection. Jesus knew that he would suffer and die, but this would not be the end, but the beginning. And while we can't know the mind of Jesus, we do know from this passage that the seeds of his teaching were being planted and one day be raised up. His enemies would think him dead, but he would be raised to a life more abundant than before. "Sir, we wish to see Jesus," the Greek said. We wish to see Jesus too. Or do we? There's a part of all of us that really wants to see Jesus, to be touched by his presence, to hear his voice speaking to the depths of our being. But we also have a tendency to make Jesus who we want him to be. If you want to know your reasons for wanting to see Jesus, look at what you pray for. Very often for me, it is a to-do list for God, for Jesus. And I treat Jesus as if Jesus was a vending machine. I remember as a little girl praying that I would get what I wanted, fill in the blanks. Later on, it was for a great career in the art world in New York City. When things got hard or the people I love got sick, or when I couldn't figure out what I wanted to do with myself, I just wanted God to make it all better. And I can still have those times of vending machine Jesus. You probably know those kinds of prayers. You probably prayed those kinds of prayers. Certainly, I can't be the only one, or maybe I am, I don't know. We sometimes talk about God as if God wasn't in the room. Instead of how God manifests God's self in our everyday lives, we want the experience of God, and we want to see and experience Jesus on our own terms. Sometimes we want something from Jesus. Yes, more than we want Jesus himself. Now, there's a very interesting internet story we came across, and it's the story of a vicar who was called to preach at Trinity. According to the writer, this vicar, upon entering the pulpit, noticed a small bronze plaque attached to the interior wall, which read, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Now, just as a point of clarification, no plaque exists. And just a historical note, Phillips Brooks did not preach from the now famous pulpit. He preached from the wooden lectern that is now found in the undercroft of Trinity Church. But let's imagine of where we work, attend school, and live. We had a small bronze plaque that read, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Which version of Jesus would you want to see? The healer? The miracle worker companion? The one who gave up his life for us all by dying on the hardwood of the cross? the one who loved the world so much, the one who loves us in spite of ourselves. The Greeks who saw Jesus that day represented the rest of the world that would come to know him after his death and resurrection and ascension. Insiders and outsiders, Jews and Greeks, slave and freemen, women and children, all would know Jesus. And you and I are counted among them. If we wish to see Jesus, we must be willing to participate in the workings of God, of continuing the work that Jesus planted. Jesus says to all of us today, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. So during this last week of Lent, let us reflect upon where we have been. We have been called into deeper relationships with him and with our neighbors, to lives of prayer and self-giving and self-sacrifice, to lives of faithfulness, compassion, and service, to lives of working toward reconciliation, justice, and inclusion, to lives that exude love. If we wish to see Jesus, we must be willing to live our lives differently. Differently from that other world where achievements and successes, prestige, wealth, and power are held higher than the presence and the blessings and the glory of God. Worldly things, well, they are nice. They only last for a short term. And finally, if we wish to see Jesus, we must come to the foot of the cross, for it is at the foot of the cross where we will see Jesus. It is at the foot of the cross that we learn the ultimate message about life, that those who love it will lose it, and those who lose it for Christ's sake will gain it eternally. Amen.